Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey, y'all. Double G here. We're doing something a little different in that John and I recorded what was going to be an episode of the Fight Game Podcast, which, as you may be aware of, we post that, and we do that for F4W Wrestling Observer. We started to record our normal Thursday night episode for Friday, and lo and behold, John had the case of the daughter who would not go to sleep. His youngest is having some issues with bedtime. And I think, you know, as young kids do, they're driving their parents. She's driving their parents a little crazy there. So John had to originally just, you know, we ended the call. We were going to come back, and it just took a lot longer than he wanted to. So instead, what we're going to do is we're going to record that show Sunday night after WrestleMania Night 2. So if you are a member of the F4W online website, the Wrestling Observer website, that will be up Sunday night, Monday morning. But we did record a segment about AEW and about just sort of like old memories from WrestleMania past that we had gone to. And so I just decided, you know what, let's just put that up on the Fight Game media feed. And, you know, it'll be sort of a lost episode. It's only 20 some odd minutes, so it's not a long segment. But this way, we do not have to talk about Dynamite on the Sunday show, because by Sunday, Dynamite is like, you know, 4 days old by then. So it's not even really news anymore. So I just wanted to put this segment up just so, I don't know, like just so people know that we actually did start recording, and it's not just an excuse or a mistake. But anyways, thanks for supporting the Fight Game media feed, and hopefully you like this little lost episode Easter egg here. What up, everybody? This is Double G for the Fight Game podcast. Happy WrestleMania weekend. Tonight is the Go Home SmackDown. I don't know how people are going to watch this Hall of Fame show.
I'm not.
Well, I mean, I want to. Like, you have Paul Heyman and The Rock and Roman doing long promos.
Yeah, I guess. This one, I might say, you know, I'll look for the highlights on X. You know,
maybe Saturday morning if I get up early enough before the NXT show.
Can I get the speed version of the Hall of Fame?
Remember when they used to put like the 30-minute or 60-minute version on USA Channel like that night?
Yeah, I remember. I think the Austin one was the one that
I was so mad because I was there live at the Austin one.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, they had like 10-minute clocks on all these guys.
Oh, I remember like that was one like we got together and watched like a bunch of my friends and I and. Yeah, it was like, hey, let's go watch the Hall of Fame. It's going to be on. And we all kind of hung out. And I remember that's the first time. Then I went to the one in San Jose or Santa Clara.
That one sucked.
And I was pulling my eyes out and just like, why would we waste my time here? I could be doing something else. I could be watching another show. I'm just watching this. I'm bored out of my freaking mind.
Kevin Nash was the headliner, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were all – I wasn't with you at that point, but there was a lot of us going like, There's wrestling shows all over the place. Why are we stuck here in the San Jose in the Shark Tank listening to Kevin Nash cut a
promo? I just remember going to the restroom, and I cut out of the restroom, and there's Road Dogg and Al Snow, and Al Snow looks like he's on every steroid and then known to man. I was like, dude, what the hell happened to that guy?
That was 15 years, or at least the Austin one was 15 years ago, but that that one you're talking about was like 9 years ago. How can it be that long ago?
Ugh, my back's hurting right now. Oh, my God.
What is your schedule for this weekend? Like, NXT is early.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I only want to watch one match from that show, so I'm going to have people text me when that match happens.
I already watched Bloodsport.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know if I say this. Should I say this out loud? Because I don't want them to ruin this, but you know, Triller has a 7-day free trial.
Yeah, they I mean, everyone knows. Yeah, that's the whole gimmick.
They're stupid at this point. They do it this weekend. So I was doing my thing, like, oh, who wants to go in, right? You know what I mean? I was like, and then I was like, wait, 7 days free. So, you know, I did the gimmick. So
how was that show?
It was good. I really liked it. Best match or fight, as Josh Barnett would say about these these bouts. I would say Shayna Baszler versus Masha Slamovich was really good. But my next favorite was Timothy Thatcher versus Axel Tischer, former Alexander Wolf and NXT. It was so good to see Timothy Thatcher again wrestle. I miss that guy. That guy's he's a joy to watch. Nick Namath and Mike Bailey was really good too as well. So those are my three top matches. A lot of them, the other matches are okay, you know, but those really stood out to me. I thought Shayna and Masha should have main evented, but they went with Josh Barnett. And
they? What do you mean they? You mean Josh went with Josh?
Josh. Yeah.
Josh. This just tripped me out when you first booked Shayna. And then her crew came with her. Mm-hmm. And then we would go out to eat. And like Josh was like so overprotective, right? He was just like almost to the point of where he didn't really want to hang out. He was just like, you know, I'm here. Everyone's cool. As long as nothing goes down, I'm just going to stand here and mind my own business. I thought that was really interesting. But at the same time, like, you know, that it's his group, right? Like he's very protective and he wants to make sure that, you know, no one goofs off or whatever. Like it was really, really interesting to see that.
He was kind of overseeing everything, taking it all in, you know, for future appearances. Like, is this worth it, et cetera. And it was apparently so Josh has a certain aura about him, you know, the martial arts master about him. And so he's hard to read, you know. And I never forget talking to, because Shayna came to one of the events without him. Like,
yeah.
And she was definitely a lot looser. And she even said that, like, I just, you know, I love Josh, but it's like a little pretty intense, you know. And that, you know,
he's
so.
An intense dude, for sure.
Yeah. And I remember like, oh, yeah, you know. And then I was like, what's that guy think about me? I was just curious because I can't read him. And she's like, yeah, he's hard to read, but oh, but he loves you. I'm like, he does? It's like, yeah, he like loves what you're doing and loves that you appreciate the style that he loves. And I'm like, yeah. And I mean, were you there in New York when we met up with him or at right for the Bloodsport show?
I was there at the Bloodsport show. I remember being there. I don't remember seeing him though. I remember seeing other people like John Moxley we saw walk in, and William Regal walked in too. I don't remember seeing Josh though,
because we went with JR Kratos, who was booked for the show, then Jeff Cobb. We met him before, and we went and went with them. We were walking, we didn't know where to go in this place, so we just kind of followed them around, and Josh came by and I said, hey Josh, you know John Rock premieres. Oh yeah. And so we just started chatting about the Bloodsport concept and everything, and so that was cool. I like Josh. He's a good guy. He really is.
Was that Bloodsport show the same one where we shook hands with Minoru Suzuki?
Yeah, smoking cigarette out in the back.
Yeah, smoking a butt.
With every like goofball wrestler, indie wrestlers, there's this Minoru Suzuki just smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
And then we kind of adopted Jack Perry with us.
To, yeah, yeah.
Know, take him around because he was just
that was
like,
not long after his dad passed.
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
Was very soon, actually.
Yeah, so he was kind of just there, and I said, like, "Yeah, come roll with us." And we just I think we got pizza that night, and
yeah.
I think Jack Perry was looking for tail that night. He was, remember that speakeasy, like,
yep,
kind of club on top of like something we found, and, yeah. And like we kind of like went and looked and came out, and Jack's like, "Wait, what do you mean? I thought we were gonna stay to see what's going on here." We ended up some other spot, but it was a good time, man. I love that New York trip.
Very memorable for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I remember we all. Cut a very Jack and Coke induced podcast that night too.
Yeah.
I forgot. I don't remember what the hell we talked about.
Yeah, it was we're pretty all sleep deprived for sure.
All right. What are we going to talk about tonight? So we're going to do something a little different. You know, we usually try and talk about kind of the topical things. What's the top five topical things we want to talk about? Most of this back half of this show is going to be WrestleMania, and we're not going to do an official preview where we break down every match. Like, I actually thought about that. I was like, I'm going to add, you know, let's like book the show to how we would want to see it. But then I was like, you know what? There's a different way to do this. And so I thought of six questions for the show and some of the bigger matches and kind of the aftermath of what we could see happening. So we'll do that at the tail end. I watched three pro wrestling documentaries this week, which was wild because I don't usually watch much other than, you know, the shows that I have to cover. But I thought, yeah, I was like, you know what? These are three very interesting documentaries, all different. And one of them is like one of the best things WWE's ever done. So I'll save that for that segment. And then to open, I mean, we usually talk about AEW on this show. And, you know, I've been saying of late that I'm just not into the vibe of Dynamite as, you know, it's really been for the last year or so where I like that show a lot less than prior. And nothing that we saw on Wednesday changed my mind. Like, there were some things that I thought was like, oh, this is really good. And then they ended up kind of ruining it for me by the time the segment was over. Like the Willow interview.
Yeah.
I was like, man, Willow's so... Like, she's getting really good at this, almost to the point where I thought she was maybe overplaying her hand as the baby face playing to the crowd. I was like, it's maybe a little bit too much, but she was so energetic and charismatic and charming, and the camera loved her.
That was a hometown crowd for her.
Yep.
And she got a great reaction. But honestly, she will get that with that promo that she cut. She can get that reaction in any building.
Yeah,
they run.
Absolutely. And so here I'm thinking like, wow, this is really good stuff. And then I think everyone sensed that this was coming. All of a sudden you heard the three letters that I did not want to hear at that time, CEO. And I was like, oh God, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this is purposeful, because if it is purposeful and Mercedes is actually going to be a heel, then I get it. But man, you spent all this money on her. I would not bring her in as a heel. I would try to get her over as a babyface, but she was not the babyface in that segment. I was just like, my goodness, the timing of this. And, you know, it's almost like, hey, you know, sometimes when you're in a social situation and someone can't read the room. Mm-hmm. Like, Mercedes did not read the room during this promo. I was like, nope, this is not it. We're still doing the same old thing that we've been doing since week one. And it was stuff like that. And then, the main event segment, which was a very unique style of contract signing where the babyface gets beaten with his own chain. And then he decides to sign the contract in blood. And I was like, wow, what a way to go off the air. Dude signs the contract in blood. And it was like, nope, we got 2.5 more minutes of now it's Samoa Joe's turn to kick this dude's ass. And I'm just like, man, 2 weeks in a row, I can't see the babyface just like be a babyface and go off the air and like have some strength, you know, going into the next week. Nope, we got to beat him up and we got to ruin that moment. So I'm just like, ah. Now, I will say there are, and, you know, I had this conversation in the Discord, which is, I am not feeling AEW right now. So thus, when I give my criticism, It is like pretty brutally honest from my perspective, but there are other people who are enjoying the show, mm-hmm. and it almost feels like they're defending the booking. But I have to pull back on that, because if they're enjoying it, then they're probably okay with the booking, or they're willing to give the booking the benefit of the doubt, which I'm totally fine with as well. Like I don't think that Tony Khan needs to book AEW for my fandom. Like, that's not how I watch wrestling. But at the same time, you know, when I see things that I'm just like, oh gosh, like, how did they screw this up? I'm going to be pretty honest yeah. about that. And sometimes that can rub folks the wrong way, especially those who enjoy it. But yeah, I just thought that, like, you know, other than those two moments where I really thought there was an opportunity to create like something bigger than what was there with those two characters, the rest of the show was just like normal Dynamite to me. Like everything that we always see every week.
A lot of ho-hum on this episode. I think we officially saw the dirt poured on Jay White as a serious main event player, or just, I can't believe that happened.
Is he married?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good. Cause in my mind I was thinking like, whose girlfriend did this guy steal? Like, what's going on here?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't know. I know he has a house, like a new house. And I know he's, you know, he's enjoying his life, you know, not having to go back to Japan.
Yeah. He's getting paid well.
But at the same time, I'm like, you got this guy. You should promoted him better. Should have featured him better. But that was sad to see. And the match was just not good at all. I honestly, by the contract signing, I was kind of just mentally, my brain was mush. Like, I wasn't, really couldn't get into it, honestly, because I didn't really focus that much. So I can't really give an opinion if it was good or not. I just kind of like, it happened. I don't know. I'm not really feeling that match as much. But last fall, like, Swerve was the hottest guy they had, right? And I did enjoy Will Hobbs' performance in the match with Will Ospreay, though. I thought Will Hobbs stood out more than Will Ospreay.
I wanted one of two things at the end of this match. I wanted Will Hobbs to be a heel in some way, and I don't know if he necessarily needed to lay out Will Ospreay. Mm-hmm. But I either wanted something there, or I wanted Will Hobbs to go up to Don Callis and go, what the hell, man? Like,
yeah.
Is it us or is it him? Like, what's the deal? And that is the part of this storyline that a lot of the fans have a lot of patience for, which is,
I don't.
Will Ospreay is Russell's, speaks, conducts himself as a babyface, and yet he's tied to this heel group, and no one will ask Don Callis what's going on. No one will ask Will Ospreay what's going on. Everybody's just like, oh, we just got to wait and see. Do we have to wait and see, or can somebody ask a question? Because Don Callis is on goddamn announcing every single time one of these guys wrestles, and nobody asks him anything.
Unless he has a new guy coming on his stable. So, with no angle at all, he's beating the whole rest of the stablemates.
But here's the other thing. Is it in Don Callis' character to want to put on great wrestling matches for the fans? Like, he's a heel manager. What does he give a shit?
I know. It makes absolutely no sense. I don't understand what Tony's deal is. I mean, if Tony wanted to make Will Ospreay a clean cut top babyface guy, he should have shot an angle to get him out of this group, and he should have started off feuding with this group, going through each member, and then you go on to something else. But we just got this confusion, and it's awkward, and I don't think it's doing Ospreay any favors. Like I said, in a vacuum, the match itself, Will Hobbs, Powerhouse Hobbs, I thought he would look tremendous in this match. And people are like, well, because he's in Will Ospreay, so it's a great worker. I'm like, well, Will Ospreay is really good. I really like Will Ospreay's work. But I was so impressed with Hobbs because, you know, Ospreay's a different type of worker he normally works with, right? And he was there for everything. His timing was good. His heat looked great, his aggression, his character moments, his connection, like, keeping the audience engaged. Like, And really impressed with Powerhouse Hobbs, and I can't wait till the WWE makes him a star. So I just feel like that's gonna happen. Like, I just think he needs to go, hopefully, and I hope they take him, you know, this time around. I'm sure they will, because I think they would know how to get him over, honestly. So, but we'll see what happens.
I would also say that, you know, the Bucks and the Best Friends was exactly what I thought it was gonna be, except this heel turn from Trent. Like, they've established that the Best Friends are, you know, they're like a longtime AEW group. Like, they're like from the original, you know, the original few Dynamites. And Orange Cassidy is obviously an upper card guy. And so when Trent turned, I was just thinking, like, oh man, like, the announcers need to, like, actually build this up. They need to, like, you know, I had this conversation with my buddy Andrew Zarian on We're Live Pal during The Rock and Roman whipping Cody and Seth. I was like, the only problem I had with this angle is we needed Jim Ross to sell the go-home about beating him like a rented mule and this and that. And instead, Michael Cole just laid out and Pat McAfee made goofy noises, and I was like, this is an all-time angle. We needed the announcers to step up to the plate. But in this case, I also thought, I'm like, man, you know, this is like 5 years in the making. These guys split up, you know, someone asked you know, who they're putting this thing together, and they probably told Chucky T, hey man, we really need you to sell this thing. And he gave like the most blank face of, you know, supposedly his best friend just turned on one, his other best friend, and he just did like the flattest face possible. I just thought that was flat. I was like, oh, like this should have been something big, and it just felt like not that important in the space of the show.
It's not like you have a tag team and one guy is like ready to break out, like the Rockers and Shawn Michaels, right? Like, it's Trent's been there forever. He hasn't done anything of really importance in a very long time. He hasn't been featured in a very long time. He's just kind of there. He's a comedy guy. Who cares about this, right? Like, who is going to care? This is going to be a waste of time, in my opinion.
It sure felt like it the way that they did it. and yeah, so I was just like, what, you know, whatever. If they're not going to be excited about it, I'm not going to be excited about it. And, you know, also the problem is, I just watched WrestleMania 5, Rick Martel turn on Tito Santana. And it's not like that was like the best thing ever, but Rick Martel was a heel. He acted like a heel when it happened. And the announcers, you know, they had the heel announcer cackling, going like, I knew it. I just knew this was going to happen. And the babyface announcer going like, God, that dastardly Rick Martel. What did Tito do to him? Like, that kind of thing. And so you created this dynamic where, you know, yeah, like, one guy is the bad guy and one guy is the good guy. And we're going to get a feud and we're going to get some matches. And here it's like Trent does the surprise attack on Orange Cassidy. And then he like pout walks down the aisle and it's over. And then we just move on. I was just like, man, we could have taken a little bit more time with this one. At least, you know, maybe it goes over 2 weeks or 3 weeks instead of, and some people are going to say, oh, they've been teasing this forever. I don't know.
Yeah, but on Rampage, for very small audiences watching, Collision, same thing, really, you know? So, and again, it's with people that have been there forever that it's not going to do anything. It's not going to make, Trent's not going to do anything with this. I strongly predict that's going to happen. I just don't have much confidence in his ability, you know? So
we'll move on after this. But another thing I was going to say is, I know we have a story. I know Thunder Rosa versus Toni Storm is going to be the match.
Mm-hmm.
The wrong person won that match because Mariah May was much better than Thunder Rosa. I don't know. You know, she maybe some of it was just her catching fire with that live crowd, you know, a year and a half ago or whatever, where she was hot. But man, you know, she's doing the same stuff and no one seems to care. And I think people are starting to care a little bit about Mariah May. So when I watched that match, I was like, the wrong person won, and we're getting this cold pay-per-view match.
Yeah, I mean, it was a result that had to happen because what they're going with, but yeah, I agree with you. Mariah May did outshine Thunder Rosa in this match.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.